It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's week 8 of the Louisiana high school football season, and this week could be a preview of what's to come next month in the playoffs. Many of this week's games will feature district and regional rivalries. Alexandria will try to stay unbeaten as they take on a Ruston team that seeks to avenge last week's loss. The team that beat Ruston, Neville, looks to stay undefeated when they play Ouachita Parish. Opelousas and Cecilia will meet in a rematch of last year's Division II non-select state title game. Gina and Bunky, two teams with prolific offenses, will battle for pole position in District 2-3A. In southwest Louisiana, Powers, Jennings, and Notre Dame will clash in an interclass affair. And Donaldson takes on St. James in one of the biggest games in the River Parishes. We'll preview all of these games and much more next on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Hard to believe it's already week 8 of the high school football season in the state of Louisiana, and this is the week 8 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Welcome in, I'm Ian Ozan. Happy that you are here with us on WWL.com or wherever you're finding our weekly podcast. We start in Northeast Louisiana this week. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show. And Gene, you guys have the biggest storylines this week, and those storylines extend from last week. Like a good professional wrestling show, the story just keeps evolving. And in District 2-5A, it's an ever-evolving story. Ruston, the longest win streak in the state, snapped by Neville. 26-21 final, Neville victorious over Ruston. Now for the Bearcats, it doesn't get any easier. They get an undefeated Alexandria squad this week. For Ruston, what do they need to do to right the ship and to pull off an upset over an Alexandria team?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be an upset. I still think Ruston is the best team, despite the win over Neville. They certainly were that on Friday night. But the fact that they had 120-something yards in penalties, I don't think helped their chances much. But, hey, a little credit to the Neville Tigers. Mike Collins had those guys ready to play. They did. They snapped that 20-game win streak. The sophomore quarterback, Parker Robinson, looked great up. Again, I think he was 17 of 24 for a couple of hundred yards and two touchdowns. And Will Campbell's brother, who's down at LSU, Thomas Campbell, he's a tight end with the Tigers, had 6 balls for 100 yards. But look, Ruston went back to work, I believe, I'm telling you, Sunday morning early, and they just got to right the ship with the things that they kind of cost them. Because, look, Brantley still threw for 146 yards, ran for a 99 more, had 2 touchdowns in that losing effort. So, you know, Ash is a good football team. You know that. But I still think Ruston is loaded. And I'd be surprised if they took the Trojans lightly one bit.
You mentioned 120-some-odd penalty yards against Ruston in that game Friday night. That's unlike a Jared Ball coach team. What happened?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, sometimes the defense inflicts that on you. And, you know, it's you either get caught out of position or, you know, Neville maybe at some point in time was doing a little bit more no huddle. They had some personal foul penalties that, you're right, very uncharacteristic. Jared told us on the radio show Friday night and again Saturday morning that, you know, his team just wasn't ready to play. I find that hard to believe a little bit just because it was Neville and the game was so close a year ago. But, look, I'm telling you, Ian, they're a great football team with talent up and down on both sides of the football. And I wish I could be in Alexandria on Friday night. Who, by the way, the Trojans have the biggest advantages. You know, they beat West Monroe last week by, to open up district play. They've got Ruston coming to the house, and before the end of the year, they got Neville coming to the house. So they've got all the three biggies on their home field. So we'll see if they can capitalize on it.
Speaking of West Monroe, they beat Ouachita Parish 15-13 this week. They get Pineville, a 3-4 team this week. West Monroe, you followed them a good bit. What can we expect from them, not only in this game, but going forward for the remainder of the season?
Well, the thing that beat Ouachita this past Friday night for the Rebels was their defense, probably the best of the year. They were led by a great senior, Zach Fulmer. The kid had six tackles from back of his cornerback spot. He had one for loss, but he had a huge interception late in the ball game. The thing that was most surprising in this contest that ended 15-13, no team scored in the second half. It was good football, but it was played between the 20s. West Monroe did have a touchdown called back with about 2 minutes to go, and they ran out of bounds on the two-yard line just to take a knee, so it probably would have looked on the scoreboard a little bit better. But, hey, look, man, the Rebels' defense is very, very good. They played well against Ash, but they have Pineville on Friday night. The ticket there is not to be taking those poor guys too lightly because, you know, they got it handed to them this past week by Ash. It was about as ugly as you could get. So, anyway, those Rebels are going to take it on the chin by the West Monroe Rebels, I think, unless some kind of a miracle happens.
Let's jump down to 3A right quick. Carroll on a two-game win streak. They're on a bye. They're 2-0 in district, the 1-3A. Sterlington this week, they're coming on a two-game win streak. They get a 5-2 Bastrop squad. This may be, outside of that 5A district, this may be the most intriguing game left on the schedule.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And, you know, they got a big shutout this past Friday. I think it was 49-0 over Northwestern. They got a young man named Heath Herring who is toting the rock for them. He had 140-something yards and a score, if I can recall. Gavin Evans had three more. And it will be a great football game. You know, in the off season, Sterlington lost their starting quarterback and his brother, wide receiver and a defensive back, the Downs brothers, Devin and Dylan. They now play for Bastrop. And don't think for a second that won't have a little of a sidebar story to it. But Coach Washington, Tank Washington, has the Rams believing it's going to be a good football game. And that, along with West Ouachita at Wasserman on Thursday night, will be the two best games in that classification this week.
Jumping down to 2A, Union Parish, Coach Pat, a 4 this year. Bit of a struggle coming off last year's state title. They're 3-4. They lost to Calvary Baptist last week. They get Darbon Woods this week, a 6-1 Darbon Woods squad. So for Union Parish, what's the message for Coach Pat, a 4 and to his team as they hit the home stretch of the season?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Spat over the weekend. Their biggest thing against Calvary, they just got caught flat-footed. They were down 24-0 before they got off the bus. And even though they made a pretty good comeback to make it 24-14, you just can't get that far behind on a team like Calvary and expect to win the football game. They got a young man named Aquarius Wilson who rushed, I think, for 160-something yards the other night. He also plays defense. He had 11 tackles on that side of the ball. But this will be the first time ever that they've met Darbon Woods, which is a relatively new school up in Union Parish. And you're right, they're playing good football. It is going to be our week 8 game of the week, and certainly looking forward to that. But those two schools are separated by the Crow Flies maybe 2 miles. So all of Union Parish will be at Darbon this week.
Staying in 2A to District 2 2A, a battle of 6-1 squads, Oak Grove hosting Faraday. Faraday 6-1. The last time they were this good, Cordell Bailey was their head coach. It's been a long time. So for Faraday, what do they have to do to make sure that they get a win over a team as strong as Oak Grove on their home turf?
Well, not play as poorly as they did when they went to Mangum. I think that will be the biggest thing. And they just got to stay inside themselves and do what they do. You know, they've got a very quiet, spoken head coach who just preaches and teaches by example. But look, man, Oak Grove is starting to kind of find their groove a little bit. Ryan Gregory has his team. They always do this at the end of the year, find their groove. And they did it the other night against Mangum. I think they won it in the last couple of minutes, 26-20. So they're tied with OCS in that District 2-2A lead. But look, when you got a quarterback like Jackson Bradley, who had 4 touchdowns, I think JT Lawton again caught a couple of them. Man, good football team as Oak Grove, and I'm, you know, Faraday's going to have to play a near-perfect game to beat him, especially since they're playing in the Grove.
Who else have we missed in Northeast Louisiana that has a big game this week?
Bunky goes to Gina on Friday night. Gina's semifinal team, as you know from a year ago, Bunky is rocking of Royals Parish. But the fact that they have to go up to Gina, they've got that great quarterback, Thaddeus Johnson, and a wide receiver. Both of those, their quarterback's already thrown for over 3,000 yards and 20-plus touchdowns. So a great wide receiver quarterback duo for the Panthers. So the Gina Giants are going to have their hands full. I promise you, everybody in that parish is going to be at Giants Stadium on Friday night. They had an easy 60-0 win over Vidalia on Friday, so it was probably nice to get a lot of young kids into that contest and give their starters a break before they have that battle on Friday.
He is Gene Ponce from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show. Before I let you go, Gene, I have to give you some congratulations. Your ULM Warhawks starting the season in fine fashion. They were on a bye this past week, but 5-1, another win. They'll be bowl eligible, and who knows, we may see the rivalry matchup we never thought we'd see. A winning Louisiana Ragin' Cajun squad against a winning ULM Warhawks squad for the Sun Belt title at the end of the year.
Yeah, they're not putting that car too far ahead of the horse right now. I think that ball game is actually scheduled for Monroe, you're right, in November. But you're right, I'm excited for them. You know, you played for them many, many moons ago. They play at South Alabama on Friday. I think if you look across the schedule, they've got maybe one or two of the remaining six that are going to be, I'd tell you, real hardcore battles. The rest, for the first time ever, you can look at and go, hey, they got a chance to win that football game, which is, it's been a long time since you can say that, but you're right. A win on Saturday puts them in the bowl.
Gene Ponce from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Hey, great talking to you, pal.
From the Monroe region, we move on to Shreveport, Northwest Louisiana. Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger, joins us. And Tim, District 1-5A continues to be one of the strongest districts in all of the state. Airline leading the way. They're 7-0 overall, 5-0 in district. They get a weak Natchitoches Central team this week. They'll close out the season with Burt and Huntington. Burt this week gets a weak Benton team before closing out with Airline and Captain Shreve. Parkway this week may have the toughest matchup of all in district. They get Captain Shreve last week, beating Huntington 49-22, did Parkway, coming off a loss to Airline. So with that in mind for Parkway, is there any shot that Bird and Airline will trip up, allowing them an opportunity to get back into the hunt for the title?
That's a very interesting question. Well, I don't think so. I think that Airline having to lose twice at this point, with Natchitoches Central, Bird, and Huntington on the schedule, for them to fall completely out of the district race, just doesn't feel like that's going to happen. They are a well-oiled machine right now, and they continue to do it. Took care of business last week against Houghton, 56-13. Again, Ben Taylor, a great game. Kenny Darby, wide receiver, a great game. Bird has found a really nice answer. The Ayers kid at quarterback is giving them a little bit of a throwing option. This is back-to-back weeks where he's had some very key passes, and if anyone knows the Bird offense, it's typically just, you know, cloud of dust, and let's get this thing going on here with Quentin Hilliard and company. But Harrison Ayers has done a nice job. I think he had two touchdown passes last week, one, of course, the game winner the week before against Huntington in the closing moments. And so if Bird's able to get just a little production out of the air, it should be pretty interesting. But, yeah, Bird should be able to beat Benton, who lost to Evangelo in a controversial two-point conversion that was called no good in the final moments of the game, where video and picture proof looks like the Benton running back certainly got the ball to cross the plane before he was down. But them's the breaks, I guess you could say. But Bird should be able to handle Benton. But the thing is, both Airline and Bird are on a collision course for next week, when Bird hosts Airline in what is kind of an if-so facto district championship. The only way that it would not be the winner getting it is if Bird does win and Parkway is able to beat Shreve this week and then able to handle Benton and Evangel, then they'll be at least in position to tie for a district title. One thing that I noticed looking at the power rankings and the select side of Division One, it's, I don't know if you looked at it here recently, but it is quite salty, and that, of course, includes Bird. They're right there in the mix as the seventh best team right now in the power ratings. But the top seven teams in D1 Select are 43-4 overall right now.
Wow.
So there's a really good brand of football being played at the upper levels of high school football in the state. And you could even say the same thing really in the top, 10 over on the non-select side, where Neville, Ruston, Airline, Parkway, and of course some town folks from down south, Jess Curtis getting it done at Southside, in Jonesville, Hansville, Zachary, Dutchtown, Mandeville. All these teams have one loss or no losses. You know, there are still four undefeated teams in the non-select side, and that includes Airline, and there are still four or five once-beaten teams in the non-select side on Division I, and that includes Parkway. So a lot to be determined. But yeah, Parkway and Shreve is probably the best big-game school we've got this week. Shreve really needs a win. They need to kind of right the ship. They've had a couple of stingers here, losing to Destrehan in what was a well-played game by both teams this past week. Of course, Destrehan, no shame in that game going down there and losing. But the one-point loss to Airline when they tried a little bit of a trick play for a two-point conversion on the game's final, outing, kind of is looming large right now, in that game. So Shreve needs to beat Parkway this week for their own sanity and also to kind of move up in those power rankings so they can get a home game in the select side of things, because if you're on the road in the first round of the playoffs in the big school football and non-select and select, you're going to be facing someone really, really good. And I think they want to avoid that like the plague.
Speaking of really good in 1-4A, North DeSoto handling business again this week, 62-11. In the last 2 weeks, they've outscored their opponents 104-11. This week, they get 2-5 Woodlawn. Minden, meanwhile, bouncing back from their loss to North DeSoto with a big 41-16 win over Booker T. Washington. This is another district where the matchups this week aren't all that great. But when you look at the North DeSotos, the Mendens, and even Northwood, you take a look at what they're doing, and it makes you wonder, how are they going to factor in the 4A bracket, I should say the Division II brackets.
Well, it's interesting, and let's make sure we throw Loyola in there as well. They got our reigning player of the week this past week in Mason Drake, who ran for 171 yards and two touchdowns and caught a pass for another touchdown. Sophomore quarterback Bryce Restovich continues to play well, making good decisions for the Flyers, who are 3-1 in district play as well. Back-to-back blowouts of Bossier and Woodlawn. They got BTW this week. And they should be able to win that game at home. BTW is a very dangerous team, though. Gary Cooper coaching at his alma mater has got those kids playing really well. I know they've lost three games in a row, but it's been the North DeSoto, Northwood, and Minden. So they lost three games to a combined 17-4 record. So this is kind of a big one for Loyola in the 1-4A matchup this week. And if they're able to handle their business, they get North DeSoto the following week at home. And that would be the biggest game for Loyola here, and I think, safe to say, quite a number of years. And if they're able to win that game, then it makes even the following game, a road game at Northwood, even bigger. So there's still a lot to be determined there. Minden has Bossier this week. They should be able to win that game. They go to Bossier. Bossier has improved, but they are not as good as what Minden has been able to put out. And then Minden and Northwood get together the following Friday, and Minden gets to close with Southwood, who unfortunately is on a 44-game losing streak right now. And so North DeSoto having Woodlawn and Loyola back-to-back, okay, that's a pretty tough one there with Loyola. Minden gets Bossier and Northwood, okay, so the Northwood's a kind of a difficult game. Northwood's got Minden and Loyola, so that makes it a little bit more difficult, and Loyola gets North DeSoto and Northwood, so it's favorable for North DeSoto to come out on top, seeing as how they are the only team who is still unbeaten in district play. And they should be able to get their superstar wide receiver Cole Corey back at some point this week, in the next couple of weeks as well before the playoffs begin. And that will be a huge boost for Luke Delafield and company there, the quarterback at North DeSoto, where we are. I know that 318 Sports said that Dennis Dunn collected his 250th career win. Roy Lang of the Shreveport-Bossier Advocate has Dennis at 249. Going to probably kind of go with Roy on this one at 249 career wins. And we also saw this week where Rodney Ewan, head coach at Calvary, celebrated his 200th career win as Calvary picked up a nice win over Union Parish. Ian, anytime you go to Union Parish and beat Coach Spadafora's squad, that is a big win. And that's a district win, so they're 24-14 win, and Calvary's rising up the ranks. They've got a good little PowerPoint game this week when they go to Huntington. So playing a, you know, at a District 1-5A, taking on a Huntington Raider team with four wins, that would be a nice feather in the cap for Calvary to add to their power ratings. And the same thing for Huntington in that regard.
And you led me to where I was going next in 2A with Calvary Baptist. Well, there were some questions after they lost two of their first three games. They beat Oak Grove to start the season, then lost to a tough Neville squad in Franklin Parish. Since then, they've rattled off four straight wins. So for Calvary Baptist, it looks like this team is coming into their own, and they are the Calvary Baptist that we thought they would be.
Absolutely thought they'd be. They did it last week without James Simon, the Texas commit. Running back suffered a little bit of an injury. They just thought it best to let him sit by. And all they did is just plug in with Julius Moss, the grandson of former LSU Tiger great Tony Moss, and whose son Anthony Moss was a really good football player as well at Airline High School. Tony Moss played at Bossier before going off to LSU. Well, his grandson, Julius Moss, is an Air Force commit, and he jumps in there and runs for 111 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He also plays in the secondary for Calvary full-time. And apparently Air Force wants him as a running back more than a defensive back. But Calvary's got a Texas commit and one of the top running backs in the country at running back. So you can see why he's not getting as many touches. But he got him last week, and that helped out in a big way over Union Parish. And so Calvary with an opportunity here against Huntington. And Rodney Ewan said that there's a reason why he put Huntington in the schedule. It's a break out of the district. You know, they have six district games, and they have to play those six district games over 7 weeks. And so their week to not have a district opponent is this week, and they scheduled Huntington. You know, he wanted to have someone who's going to make them better for the playoffs because, you know, when you take on a Magnolia School of Excellence who's winless, you're going to take on a Green Oak squad who's only got one win. North Caddo's got two wins. Those are the final two games of the season for Calvary Baptist. This is going to give their entire starting team an opportunity to probably play full four quarters, be pushed around, you know, be tested on the line of scrimmage better than they'll be tested against Green Oaks and North Caddo. So a good game here for Calvary to take on Huntington this week.
Let's jump down to 1A. Logansport is coming into their own. They lost to St. Mary's a couple weeks ago. Since then, they've rattled off two straight wins against St. Mary's and Lakeview. Total combined score there, Logansport 109, the other guys 6. They get Montgomery, LaSalle, and Northwood Lena to close out the season. And LaSalle, who they'll face in 2 weeks, are riding a four-game win streak as they go against St. Mary's this week. So what can we expect as we go down the stretch in District 3-1A? Will it be Logansport or LaSalle who captures the pennant for this district?
I think it's going to be Logansport. Their only losses are to Loyola, of course, a 1-4-A team. And we just mentioned how Loyola's 5-2. And they actually were in that game until the fourth quarter. And then Kinder beat them. And, of course, Kinder's also a 3-A team, I believe, or at least 2-A, and is a really good team as well. They're 5-2. Those are the two losses for Logansport. LaSalle lost to Delhi Charter, Lakeside, and Maryville. They've lost Montgomery's lost to Grant and to Elton and to, also lost to Lakeside. The wins for these teams have not been over very impressive programs as well. And the thing is, outside of Logansport, LaSalle, and Montgomery, the rest of that district really is going to be a bit of a struggle. Lakeview is winless. St. Mary's is 2-5. Northwood Lean is 2-5, and all are winless in district play. And so the cream of the crop is Montgomery, LaSalle, and Logansport. But Logansport's a better program than either of those two. And Logansport should win. They have to go to Montgomery this week, should be able to beat Montgomery. And then they get LaSalle. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're at Montgomery and LaSalle. They have to go on the road for both those games. But I think Logansport's talent is superior to those other programs. Plus, they've been there, done that a lot more often. Of course, won a state championship here in the last few years. Made it to the Dome in another year, made it to the semifinals a couple of times. It just feels like Logansport is better prepared to handle some pressure situations more so than Montgomery and LaSalle.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger, and of course you can hear him across the state on a number of radio stations. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Ian.
And we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Week 8 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on as we go to the Lafayette area, the Acadiana region. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. And Kevin, this week, let's start in District 4-4A because the forfeits last week forced the top two teams in that district to be idle. St. Thomas More was supposed to play Como. They got a forfeit win. They weren't able to find an opponent at the last minute. Turling, same thing, forced to take a forfeit victory over North Vermilion because they couldn't add an opponent last minute. This week, Turling gets East to in non-district play. St. Thomas More gets rain in district play. These two teams will face each other next week. With that in mind, do you expect them to meet each other undefeated in district come next week?
Yeah, well, Turley's plays a non-district team, so they'll definitely be undefeated. And, you know, St. Thomas More is hosting rain. You know, there's a huge difference. You know, when Westgate's healthy, they're in that category with Turley's and STM, but there's a huge gap between, you know, the North Vermillions and Rains and Comos and Northsides and STM and Turlings. And so, yeah, I mean, they'll, you know, I don't think there's anybody else in the district that can beat them unless Westgate is potentially healthy. Now, and even Westgate, I think now that they've kind of overcome their injuries and they're down to their third string quarterback, they've kind of figured out a way to make it work a little better. Tobias Gordon had over 200 yards rushing last week, and they blasted rain even worse than Turley's did. But, yeah, that's going to be quite a game between those two next week.
Staying in 4A and 5-4A, Cecilia and Opelousas is meeting not only for the district title, but meeting in a rematch of last year's state championship game. And depending on whose side of the story you believe, which theories you believe, there's some bad blood between these two schools considering what happened after the title game in which Opelousas had its championship revoked and then granted back by the LHSAA. This game in Opelousas at Donald Gartner Stadium, what do you expect here?
Man, I you know, this is as juicy a matchup as you can have because of everything you said. You know, just a pure on-paper football. You got two best teams in the district. And you know, they played last year in the state championship game. and everything that happened off the field, and you know, all the bitterness and finger pointing. The first thing, you better have extra security for this game, and the second thing is hopefully the coaches get everyone to get the players to do what they're supposed to do. But both teams are going to be highly motivated. Neither team has had, you know, the season so far that maybe you thought they thought they'd have. You know, Opelousas, they strengthened their schedule. You know, they played a totally different schedule, and because of that, they lost some game. But they're still really good. And Cecilia, you know, they lost a game with the Hurricane and picked up Central, who's really good, and they got beat in that game and had an injury to Diesel in that game. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think this is like an old basketball, when you have a half-court team against a high-flying team, it's whichever one can get the tempo in that way, in their way. If they can, if Opelousas can grind it out and just lean on you and be physical, then they'll win. If Cecilia can figure out a way to make it a track meet up and down the court, then I think they're more comfortable in that situation. So really, this game's just about tempo, and I think two teams are totally opposite in the way they play football, and that's what makes such a fascinating matchup.
Jumping up to 5A and 3-5A, the Lafayette Parish game of the week, if you will. Acadiana taking on Southside, both teams 4-0 in district play, only one loss overall for both of these teams. Acadiana, we know what they can do, but Acade DeBetta this year giving a different dimension, an additional dimension, to what typically is a run-heavy Acadiana offense. What does Southside have to do defensively to stop that?
Well, you know, it's so hard to tell. Like, they've been throwing, he's got 7 or 8 touchdown passes in the last 2 weeks. No, Acadiana quarterbacks never do that. On the flip side, they're playing teams that they're, you know, 40, 50 points better than. So it's a lot easier to do that in those games than when you're, you know, playing a legitimate team pretty much on your level. So we'll see how close to the level that Southside is. Southside defensively, probably not as good as they are offensively, but they've done a good job of controlling the clock and getting big plays as well as long drives. You know, again, I thought Southside would be in the mix to be one of the top 2 or 3 teams in this district, and I think so far they've proven they're clear-cut one of the top 2 teams in this district. And, you know, we'll see if they're good enough defensively to stop the fact that Acadiana can run and throw it and outscore Acadiana. But, no, I think Southside deserves a lot of credit for getting to this level. Acadiana's been cruising for a long time. It should be a good one. And, you know, there was some old-school bitterness here years ago. I don't know that these coaches or players have a lot to do with it, but nothing compared to the bitterness you got right now between Cecilia and Opelousas.
And staying in 3-5-A to give Carancro some credit, they started the season 0-4. They've won 3 straight. They get Sulphur this week. They very well could get back to .500 after Friday night.
Yeah, at home against Sulphur, I kind of think they'll win. No, I agree. You know, I still don't think they're at the level that they thought they were going to be and we thought they were going to be, but they've gotten some wins. Last week was a pretty encouraging performance. Chance Babineau threw for around 200 yards, and his completion percentage was good, 11 for 16. So, you know, I think they're a team that's going to be much better in week 9 and 10 than they were in weeks 1, 2, and 3. And so we'll see if they can make some noise once they get into the playoffs.
The Acadia Parish game of the week, Church Point taking on Crowley. That game in Church Point. Crowley resurgent this year, 5-2. The Battlin Bears, 4-3, which for Church Point is a down year.
You know, that might be the best district in our area in terms of the amount. I'm not necessarily talking about that the best teams are better than, like, you know, Turlings or Acadiana or anything, but in terms of the depth of the district, because Northwest is really good. They had a great win over Church Point last week. Iota's really good. They're 6-1. They had a win over a 5-1 Westlake team last week. Crowley's much improved. So that district has really gotten a lot better, and it's deeper. And but no, I still think Church Point's played at a higher level. Their wins are a little better than Crowley. I kind of expect Church Point to win. But you're right. Crowley deserves a lot of credit for the progress they've made this season.
Two small school games that I want to take a look at quickly before we go. First off, in District 5 2-way, or make that District 6 2-way, you have Notre Dame taking on Jennings this week. Non-district matchup. Jennings, of course, a 3A school. Notre Dame playing up in classification here in what's going to be, should be a great game. Jennings 6-1, Notre Dame 4-3. Meanwhile, on the 1A side, a district match in 5-1A, St. Ed's taking on Catholic of Pointe Coupee, both teams undefeated.
Yeah, I think that's a really good game, Notre Dame and Jennings, because, you know, Jennings beat Northwest. Northwest is pretty good. And Notre Dame had a great win over LCA last week. They're playing a little better. They're not as good defensively as traditionally Notre Dame is. So they're playing a few more shootout-type games. So I guess it wouldn't surprise me if there's some points in this one. But they played real well this week. That was a good matchup. You know, St. Edmund, you know, you just never know. You go into the year and everyone, all the conversation in the offseason was you lose your all-state caliber running back. He goes to Northwest, and what are you going to do? And St. Edmund's undefeated for the first time in like 16 or 17 years. And, you know, had a great win over OC. Kane Westrew set a school record with 6 touchdown passes last week. So they're doing very well. But, yeah, Pointe Coupee has played well, too. That is a good matchup. But St. Ed's is rolling right now. I kind of feel good about their chance.
And that's a tough district as well. Below them, Westminster right now, 5-2, 2-1 in district. Opelousas Catholic, 5-2, 2-2 in district. That is a stacked roster of teams here.
I like the depth in that district as well. I agree. And OC had some injuries. They're kind of like Westgate, and they lost some of their big playmakers. And so they'd be it'd be a different situation had they been healthy, but you know us Saints fans know what that's all about.
Yes, indeed. Please don't remind us about that situation. He is Kevin Foote with the Advocate, the Acadiana Advocate, giving us a preview of the Acadiana and Lafayette region. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, take care.
And we continue by going to the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Valden, one of my co-hosts on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, joins us. And, Coach, this week, looking at the schedule at large, there's really not much interesting, but there are a few bright spots. We'll start in the Catholic League. Edna Carr taking on Warren Easton on Friday night. You've got a couple of decent Saturday games as well. Holy Cross taking on Archbishop Rummel. Jesuit gets John Curtis on Friday night. Brother Martin taking on St. Aug, a St. Aug team that's trending downward after a hot start. So the Catholic League is going to deliver. Only thing is, if you want to see some of those games, you have to wait till Saturday night.
Yeah, because Rummel likes playing Saturday afternoon games. St. Aug likes playing Saturday night games. But a lot of the teams are in district now. So you have a lot of games where, unlike early in the season, where teams were playing other really good teams, now, you know, every now and then you're going to have someone in your district that you should beat. So that's what we're running across this week. But you do have, you have Curtis that is a must-win against Jesuit. If they want to contend, you know, they can't drop to Jesuit because they still have to play Carr. So if they're able to beat Jesuit and then win next week, they'll be playing Carr for the district championship. So that's a must-win by them. You know, Rummel, too. Rummel has the win if they want to stay in the hunt for the district championship. Two big, big rivalries, the Battle of Slidell and Salmon, that'll be Friday night, and then the biggest rivalry in Houma area, H.L. Bourgeois Braves and the Terrebonne Tigers.
Staying in that part of the state, let's go to Lutcher. They had a big win the other night against Edie White in a game that more than likely is going to determine the district championship there. Now that we're getting closer to the end of the season, how do you think that result is going to impact the power rankings on both sides of the bracket? Lutcher is non-select, Edie White is select. They're not going to meet in the playoffs, but I would imagine Friday night's game is going to have some consequence on where they land in the playoff brackets.
Not as much as you would think because, you know, E.D. White lost, but Lutcher's going to win a bunch of games. So they're still going to pick up a bunch of power points. Now, Lutcher, it really helps them because they pick up 10 points for beating E.D. White, and they're going to get 1 point for every game E.D. White wins. So that's really going to bolt them. What really hurts you in the bracket is you cannot lose to a team with a bad record. So like if Brother Martin would lose to St. Aug, that would be bad. Another game, too, though, Ian, which would be a very interesting game. to see. St. Charles Catholic's been struggling, but they're in district now against Belchase. So Belchase is having a good season. So that'll be a measuring stick because we really don't know how good St. Charles Catholic is. So we'll find out Friday night when they play Belchase.
Another game, a smaller school they'll be looking at, the Riverside in 1A. They're taking on Central Catholic, both teams 4-2. And, of course, Dedrick Lasty, we know what he can do. He can run circles around opponents, and I don't think Central Catholic has seen a player like Dedrick Lasty yet this year. For Riverside, with Central, then Varnado, and then Crescent City, do you think they run the gauntlet, they finish district undefeated, and then go into the playoffs riding high?
Yeah, they're not going to play better. You know, because once again, if they lose, if they drop one of those games, that's gonna really hurt them when the brackets come out. So they need those 30 points. So they're going to have to run the table.
And we should clarify, Central Catholic not in this district. They're in the more New Iberia, Morgan City-centric district, but still Riverside hosting Central Catholic this Friday night. And Isidore Newman, we haven't spoken about them a lot lately. Our good friend Nelson Stewart over there. This week they get Sarah T. Reed. Newman is 5-0. Reed is 3-4. Newman's another school that, if you look at the record, Sarah T. Reed, Country Day, and then South Plaquemine, they should finish the season undefeated.
Yeah, they can't drop this one to Reed. You know, the thing with Newman, what hurt them, is not having those 2 weeks playing because they're not going to pick up a lot of points in their district. Their district is not very strong. I know Nelson likes to load up the pre-district because that gets him ready for the playoffs. So, but, you know, he ought to run the table and stay healthy going into the playoffs.
Coach Lou Valden, our head coach on the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, former state champion back in Hanville back in the day, joining us on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Ian, thanks for calling.
And when we come back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, we'll go to the Baton Rouge metro area. We'll also take a look at the river parishes in Bayou region, as well as Alexandria and Lake Charles. All that and more when the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with the Week 8 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. We now move to the Baton Rouge area. Robin Fabro from The Advocate joins us. Robin, a few games on the docket this week. Of note, we start with Dutchtown and Walker. This is the district matchup, but it's intriguing for a couple of reasons, not just for the rivalry aspect, but one of these teams trying to get back on a good foot after sliding the last couple weeks.
Right. Walker's lost two in a row, and this, I don't know that we can exactly call it a rivalry yet. This is only the third year that they've been in this district together. But I think you have the makings of it because Walker upset Dutchtown last year in this situation. And that was kind of a precursor of what we saw as they went on ahead and they wound up all being, they, you wound up with three co-champions, and Walker went on and was a quarter finalist, and so was Dutchtown. So it's going to be interesting to see how they regroup. It's also going to be interesting to see how everything unfolds for Dutchtown. LaKeedron Harvey, who's one of their key players, running back, who's getting some Power 5 offers, he's kind of struggled with some injury issues this year and seems to be hitting on all cylinders now. So that gives them another weapon that teams may not be able to prepare for as well because he was one of the top sprinters in the state last year.
Now for Walker, this is, as you mentioned, a team that's lost two in a row. They fell to Archbishop Shaw last week, 59-14. Santa Ma lost to them, 33-26 last week. They have a bit of a tough stretch to go. They get Dutchtown this week, Denham Springs, East Ascension. What is it that they're going to need to do to finish strong? That way they have some momentum heading into the playoffs.
Well, what they've done well is they have a running back, Caden Jones, who is over 1,000 yards and has had a very good season. It'll be interesting to see if they can open up the passing game a little more. They were able to do that last year with Troy Sylvie, their quarterback, basically probably from week six, seven on last year. That's kind of when their passing game emerged, where they made some big plays. They also were big play oriented on special teams, returns wise and otherwise. So they're just going to have to come up with some things that put them in a position to score. And then the defense obviously is going to have to find ways to limit what the other team does. It's a little bit of a different look for Dutchtown this year in that they throw the ball more than they have. Normally they've been a more ground-oriented team, but Dylan Champon, the quarterback, has looked really good so far, and they've made good decisions in the passing game, and they kind of made it a nice complement to the running game they've always had.
In District 6-4A, Estruma, 6-1 overall on the season, takes on West Feliciana, 4-3 overall on the season. These two teams out of the race for the district championship because Plaquemine right now is undefeated, well, but still a lot to play for.
Yeah, there's a lot to play for, and you know, you never know, you never say never. Estruma does play Plaquemine down that stretch. So there is a chance that you could wind up with a multi-way tie, but the key is getting through this one. And, you know, Estruma's got their work cut out for them. They do have Plaquemine and Westfell, so it's going to be interesting just to see how it evolves this week. They have a quarterback who gained eligibility a couple of weeks ago, Frank Alexander, who had to sit out a year after transferring from another school during the school year. And he's been a nice complement to Kyrie Paul, their running back, who now has over 800 yards on the year. So, but Westfell is a tough challenge, and playing up there is a tough challenge. Playing, you know, going on the road up to St. Francisville, it's a little different than just actually staying in the Baton Rouge area. I think whenever you venture to Plaquemine or you venture to and even Brule or Westfell, you don't really know for sure how that's going to how your team's going to respond. And it's a huge test. Obviously, Sid Edwards won his 200th career game last week at Estruma, but they got to retool quickly and get going on this one.
Meanwhile, in District 6-3A, U-High takes on Parkview Baptist this week. U-High going on the road for this game, trying to stay unbeaten in district play. Do you think they pull off the win here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, U-High is kind of a cut above everybody else in the district. I think they've proven that I think there's a degree of separation for them and Madison Prep, and that one's coming up, I believe, next week on the docket. So, but they can't overlook anything. Parkview, it's a different group, kind of a different configuration from last year. They graduated a lot of very good seniors. But they've come on and have been very, very solid. Their win over Port Allen recently was outstanding. That was a key win for them after losing to Madison Prep. And they've got Brock Como, who's back at receiver after being All-State last year, and Noah Graves, their quarterback, has over 1,000 yards. Now, for U High, the numbers aren't as gaudy as you'd expect. They've had a lot of lopsided games where a lot of their starters really haven't had to play that long. So it's a little misleading, but you still have Emil Pecorello, the quarterback, who I believe is listed as a four-star prospect. You've got Zay Martin, Southeastern commitment at wide receiver. And then, of course, on defense, you've got Keelan Moses, the LSU commitment, playing linebacker. So, and that's not it. They've got a lot of other guys who are very, very good, too. And it's, for them, it's a matter of just staying fine-tuned and doing what you need to do and just being efficient.
Southern Lab takes on Kentwood in District 9-1A. Southern Lab is a team that started off hot. They won their first three games, but they've lost their last three, trying to break that win streak against a tough Kentwood team, 5-2. Can Southern Lab ride the ship here?
Well, they really this is a big game for them. Kentwood is a team now that's not only in their district, they're also on the select side of the ledger in Division 4. So this could also be a potential playoff opponent. And the rivalry is really one of the neatest ones you have. You don't really necessarily always have that, but going back years and years, there's always been a good rivalry between the two schools. And, you know, Kentwood's going to come in wanting to take one from them because Southern Lab won at Kentwood last year. And, you know, Kentwood appears to really kind of be on a roll if you look at what they've done the last few games. I know the intention for Southern Lab, they wanted to get some higher caliber competition, some different types of teams that they don't play normally, and obviously they did that with 5A Denham Springs. Madison Prep is a rival. That wound up being really kind of a shootout sort of game that was 36-26. And then they went to Kaplan, which is a long road trip, and that's not a bad idea either because you may have to do that in the playoffs. But, you know, they don't have a lot of district games because it's a small district, but they really kind of need to get back on track. And it'll be interesting to see how they come out this week. A program that's not really used to things like this where you lose games in a row. How do they respond? I think a lot of people will be looking for that.
Staying in 1A, going to 8-1A, North Iberville on the road this week at Ascension Catholic. Ascension Catholic is 5-1. North Iberville suffering their first loss last week to White Castle. Only by 1 point, though, 44-43 for North Iberville. What do they need to do to get back in the win column?
This is going to be the toughest challenge North Iberville has had. You realize this is their first year with varsity football in 15 years. So we're 2 weeks removed from their first district game in 15 years. They lost to White Castle last week by a point, which was a good barometer. It shows kind of a step up. North Iberville is a very, very young team and has a lot of athletic ability, but again, they're getting adjusted. And facing Chad Elsey Jr. for Ascension Catholic is going to be the stiffest challenge they've had so far. I promise you. And that's another Thursday game, another high-profile Thursday game. But it's, you know, they're kind of, I think North Iberville can easily be cast as the underdog in this. And but by the same token, I know Ascension Catholic's not going to overlook them. They want to continue what they've been doing. They haven't lost a district game, I don't believe. Somebody sent it to me last night, since 2018.
And lastly, jumping up to 2A, Dunham and Episcopal, they play each other next week. This week, Dunham gets East Feliciana, Episcopal gets Northeast. For these two teams, it's a matter of not overlooking the opponents in front of them this week and jumping ahead to next week. They have to stay focused because both teams, I'd imagine, want to play each other for the district championship next week. Both would be 4-0 going into that game if everything goes chalk here.
Right. Yeah, and both coaches are veteran coaches, Travis Bourgeois at Episcopal and Neil Weiner at Dunham. They're going to have those guys prepared, and that's not going to be a problem. It's what they're going to want is they're going to want good execution, and they're also going to want to try to keep everybody healthy. And the key is it's kind of like taking care of business. You come in early, you do what you need to do, and if it works out, perhaps they get to play some other guys later in the game. But, you know, the eye is on the prize. They know they're a week away, but rather than saying, oh, well, we don't need to worry about these guys, they're going to say, hey, we're going to want to fine-tune it this week. How good can we be on our first five drives? How good can our defense be on the first five possessions for the other team? Just call it a week to polish everything up.
And we'll take a look at that matchup next week. Of course, Dunham and Episcopal set for Week 9 match this week. Dunham at East Feliciana, Episcopal taking on Northeast. And in District 7-3A, St. James taking on Donaldsonville this week. Maybe the biggest matchup in that district this season.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup. Donaldsonville has taken a few lumps this year. You know, they have a first-year coach in Darnell Lee, who was at East Ascension for many years. And this is a big game for them. It's a big game for both schools. They're longtime rivals located just a few miles apart on the river. St. James, after losing to Shaw, righted the ship. You'd have to make them the favorite, I think. But as they've known for many years, it's kind of hard to go to Donaldsonville, Floyd Boutte Memorial Stadium, and win sometimes. So a win there could really, quite frankly, make Donaldsonville's year, and I think St. James is aware of that.
Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us to give us the lay of the land of the Baton Rouge area. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Thank you.
From Baton Rouge, we go to the River and Bayou area. Troy LaBeouf joins us. And Troy, we had an outstanding game that we covered on the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup last week, and that was Lutcher and Edie White. It was a heavyweight battle to the end. Trenton Chaney scored three touchdowns for the Bulldogs, and now this week, Lutcher has to keep the momentum going, and really and truly over the next 3 weeks they have to keep it going. The district championship is theirs as long as they don't trip up.
Yeah, outstanding game you guys got to see. I went back and watched the replay later. I just wanted to see. You know, I couldn't be there. I was at another historic rivalry game, East Ascension at Santa Monica, and I'm sure you and Robin talked about that. But you saw two heavyweights going at it. No shame. And losing to Lutcher, Edie White's got an outstanding program. But, I look at Lutcher. I mean, no disrespect to the next three games. The combined record, although the combined record of the next three teams for Lutcher is 3-17, if memory serves me correct. They play Ellender this week. They're placing programs that play a lot of young kids in the next 3 weeks. They should be 9-0. They're 6-0 right now. They should finish as the number one seed, play Division II non-select, and they are a serious, serious contender for state championship in that division. Edie White will host South Terrebonne. I look for those guys to get back on track. They have an interesting Week 10 matchup, Edie White does, with their rival, Vanderbilt. Talk about a rivalry game. Two close neighboring schools within 15 minutes of each other. So that's going to be most likely be for second place. I think Lutcher wraps it up, and Trent Chaney, Louisiana Lafayette commitment was fantastic.
St. Charles is a team that we're still not quite sure what they are this year, and a lot of that's because they've played tough competition, and they've started 1-5. They played another tough non-district and out-of-state opponent this go-around as they took on Legacy out of Texas, losing 34-28. We know the Comets have talent. We know that they're getting adjusted to playing a 4A schedule, but we haven't seen what they've been able to do in district. They'll have a chance to prove that this week against Bell Chase.
Yeah, this is a very good Bell Chase team. Nobody had Bell Chase 7-0 on their bingo card. Certainly I didn't. But good program. They're playing outstanding football. It's going to be a huge test for St. Charles. Offense was better. They played a really good team in Legacy, Texas, as you mentioned. I mean, a very good football team. Why, people ask me, why are they playing Legacy, Texas? Because nobody wants to play St. Charles. I mean, it's hard to find teams to schedule in your non-district games because you've been so successful. So you got to go out of state to find somebody to play. But I think the offense is starting to play better. Defense is going to show up, and special teams are going to show up every week. Number 19 in the power rankings right now is St. Charles. They will present a nightmare for a first-round matchup for a 14 seed, or if they jump up a few sides, maybe for 11 or 12 seed. And then what the really scary part is, if I'm a top five seed and I got to play those guys in the second round after I'm coming off a bye and they have played a football game, that's not a matchup I want against St. Charles.
Destrehan coming off a big win against Captain Shreve. This week they get Central Lafourche, and then in week 9 they'll get Hanville, a team coming off a victory over Central Lafourche 49-7. This week get East St. John. What do Hanville and Destrehan have to do to make sure that they stay focused this week and not look ahead to next week?
Do not look ahead. Don't even talk about next week's opponents. Look, I'm sure the coaches have done some advanced scouting. Some of these schools have gotten so big where they have analysts doing it for them, you know, people breaking down film and providing them with tendencies for the other team. But they really need to stay locked in. I mean, I know Destrehan's coaching staff is telling them, guys, Conville's not going to come out of our mouth this week. We have a better Central Lafourche team. Shelly Bedros is the coach over there. I know Shelly very well. He actually had a birthday this week. And he's done a nice job. He's the AD. He took over the head football job. And they've won some games. But I think Destrehan takes care of business this week. And I think Hanville does as well. And then we're going to talk about that as our game of the week next week.
Terrebonne and HL Bourgeois in an interesting situation here. They share a stadium. They're technically both playing in their home, on their home turf, but HL Bourgeois will be the designated team this week. Still a district race going on, even though they lost to Hanville. HL Bourgeois, 4 wins, a chance to get a few more, and a chance to improve their playoff seeding.
Yeah, I tell you what, Coach Sterling Washington should be up for Coach of the Year for HL Bourgeois. He's done a great job. He's one of the nicest individuals you ever want to meet. Had a chance to cover his team in week 1 when Ascension Catholic played him. That was a 19-15 nail biter, won by the Bulldogs. But you can see the improvement of his team from week to week. His guys are respectful, and they're going to play hard because they take on, most teams take on their, you know, the identity of their head coach, and they take on Coach Sterling Washington's identity, which is one of the nicest dudes you want to meet, and just a hard worker who brings his hard hat to work every single day. Now look, they face Terrebonne, who's super talented. They probably got 5, 6, 7 guys that'll be playing college football out of this class and next year's class. So it's going to be a challenge. But what's the kind of neat part about it? They'll just switch sides. ATL will get to go on the home side, and Terrebonne will go on the other side. But they're very familiar with the stadium. So it should be a fun game for these two teams.
You got a couple big games in your part of the state this week. Riverside taking on Central Catholic of Morgan City. Also, St. James at Donaldsonville. These are going to be two huge games with playoff implications. First, Riverside taking on Central Catholic in non-district play. We know what Dedrick Lassie can do. He's absolutely fantastic. Does West St. John have any defensive powers to stop him?
Yeah, you know, obviously Riverside's starting to play better. You know, they didn't play bad. You know, they just ran into a really good team in Vermilion Catholic. And, you know, I saw some comments, oh, Riverside's not that good. Not so fast, my friend. They're very good. And Brock Bourgeois is a quarterback. He's really throwing the ball really well. I don't know if you noticed, Ian, they have a receiver. His last name is escaping. His first name is Nehemiah. He looks like Megatron that played in NFL. The kid is probably 6'2". 215 pounds, and he is a matchup nightmare for opposing teams that go along with Lasty. They got some Boogie Johnson is their dual threat player on both sides of the ball for them. So this is a sneaky matchup with Central Catholic. Central Catholic's played well. I don't think they're going to be able to beat Riverside. It'll be kind of like a second round playoff game if you ask me, and it'll give them a chance to kind of go on a road trip and do the whole eat on the road and all that stuff, get yourself ready for the playoffs. But I know you want to talk about St. James Donaldsonville as well.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left. St. James Donaldsonville, quick preview there.
Yeah, it's a rivalry. Literally, if you live on one side of the street at the parish line, you go to Donaldsonville. On the other side, you go to St. James. It goes back to a long tradition rivalry. I had a chance to be a part of this rivalry as a coach from 1996 to 98. This is going to come down to execution, who doesn't turn the football over. Donaldsonville on a 2-game losing streak. St. James's defense, I told you I felt like they would take care of MAC 35, and they did, 26-9. But watch out for special teams in this game. St. James to me, no disrespect, they have better special teams than Donaldsonville. Somebody's going to make some special teams plays, and somebody's going to make some special teams mistakes in this one, and that could determine who's going to win the game.
Troy LaBeouf, our River Parishes and Bayou area correspondent, joining us on the Week 8 edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. I know you're on the road. Safe travels, my friend.
I appreciate it. In 3 weeks, you and I will be previewing the playoffs. That's crazy.
I know. It's gone by much too quickly, but it'll be here before we know it. And the Pelican State Prep Football Preview continues after this. We'll take a look at the Alexandria and Lake Charles regions of the state, so stay with us. This is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview, Week 8 edition. I'm Ian Ozan. Let's head to Central Louisiana, the Alexandria part of the state. Lamar Gafford from SinlawPreps.com joins us. And Lamar, as you described it off the air, we've got a heavyweight title bout at the top of the card this week with a bunch of good undercard bouts below it. Let's start with the main event, Alexandria-Ruston. Ruston coming off a loss to Neville. Alexandria still riding high. What do you expect from the Trojans and the Bearcats in this matchup?
Yeah, this should be a pretty good one. I mean, I feel like, again, for Ash right now, they're 7-0 for the first time since 2003. So it's been for the first time in a long time since they've been up at this point here. And I imagine they're going to be ready for this game here. Now, obviously, with Ruston losing the game to Neville, that kind of does take a little bit of the sales of this ball game out of there. But still, Ash knows that they have to go through Ruston if they want to try to get themselves a district championship. And I imagine they're going to be laser sharp and ready and focused. And the same thing for Ruston, you know, coming off of a loss. They're going to be even more focused here after those last 2 weeks here. So it should be a pretty good matchup, I have a feeling here, between those two. And, you know, I got a feeling that it's going to be pretty close, but it's definitely Butch Stoker Stadium is going to be definitely the place to be at this Friday night.
And one of the bouts on the undercard is in the same district. It's Pineville at West Monroe. Pineville 3-4, West Monroe 4-3. These are two teams that are more evenly matched than I think some people might have expected at the start of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, of course, you know, with Pineville so far this season here, and yeah, granted, I mean, they were down 21-0 before they could even get on the field against Ash, but they have still been trying to battle hard no matter what happens. I mean, they did put up 21 points against a pretty solid Ash team here. Of course, their up-tempo offense there, that is going to be something here. And I feel like that they could be try to at least be competitive against West Monroe. Now, I did see West Monroe. Obviously, West Monroe still is a strong team, still is a decent team, and you just never know what may happen here in this matchup. I feel like West Monroe will probably prevail in this one, but I would not count out what Pineville does because, you know, of course, Bryant Bell, I mean, he used to be a West Monroe guy himself, and I still think that they're not going to lay down. They're not going to lay down. They're going to continue the fight, and, you know, they're still trying to work at least into a point where they still know that they got a playoff spot that's still on the line for them.
Let's jump down to 3A for a moment. One of the other big undercard bouts, if you will, is Gina taking on Bunky. That game in Gina. Bunky is undefeated. They're 7-0. Gina is 5-2. Both teams unbeaten in district. This most likely will decide who wins 2-3A. What can we expect from these two, and can Gina pull off what on paper would be an upset here if they get the win at home?
Yeah, I still feel like Gina, I mean, they're going to be ready in full force. I mean, the game's at home for them. They came out in droves last year when the game was in Bunky, and I feel like that they're going to do the same thing in Gina here this year here. And, of course, Gina, they love their Giants no matter what happens here. And these last couple of weeks, I think they have really bounced back from, you know, allowing 60 points against Tioga in week 5. And so they've already know that they know what's still at hand here. And for them, I mean, they still possibly have a good chance of probably getting themselves first round bye in Division III non-select. They still have a chance of possibly making a pretty solid deep run there. I still think that Bunky so far this season, though, they're, and we talked about razor sharp focus, and I feel like they're focused right now at this point. And I mean, I felt like their game against Buckeye, I mean, kind of shocked me a little bit there, at to the point where they jumped out on Buckeye, and I thought Buckeye was going to give them a little bit more of a challenge. And it just continues to show here that Bunky, they knew that last year was very good, but there were still some things on the table that they really wanted to try to get. And one of those things was trying to get themselves a district championship. They know they got to go through Gina to do that, and this is going to be a tough task for them to go on the road there. But if there's anybody that I feel like that's ready to do it, I feel like they're ready to do it there. It's going to be a good game, but I feel like Bunky's going to win the matchup very close as well.
Bunky, over the last 3 weeks, has scored a minimum of 50 points per game. You mentioned that 64-0 thrashing of Buckeye. Gina, though, over the last two games, they've put up 96 points combined, allowing only 13, spanking Vidalia 60-0 last week. So this is going to be a hard-hitting contest. Any other games across Central Louisiana? I know we've mentioned the three big ones so far, but what are some of the other ones you'll be looking at?
I think for some pride on the line here, I think Peabody against Tioga. I think that's going to be a pretty solid matchup between those two. You know, I know those two teams have kind of been reeling us of late here. You know, they kind of got things. They were 0-3 at one point, then they won both 1-2 straight, and then they kind of went back a little bit down here after two losses here. I think this game probably may determine to see who would definitely get a chance to go into the playoffs, because, you know, last year's game was a thriller, and last year's game went into the overtime where Tioga won by 1 point. It was definitely one of the better games I've ever got a chance to see, if not last year in some recent memory. And I feel like that this could be the same thing. I mean, I feel like Tioga has the squad there, but I still think that Peabody can try to pull it off with their do-it-all player in T.J. Hullaby here. So that should be a pretty solid game here, just to see if one of these teams gets back up off the mat here, shall we say, since we're doing some boxing analogies here and everything. But I feel like that should be a pretty solid matchup, just for pride on the line at least.
And, of course, when you're playing in that district, pride means a lot. Even if you're not in the running for a district title, if you're a 5A school, pride certainly means a whole lot. And the fact of the matter is, there's still an outside chance that one of these teams could make the playoffs based on how the power rankings go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been cracking up the numbers myself with my spreadsheet and everything, and just trying to see, you know, what these teams need. You know, do they need a win to get in? Do they need two wins to get in? Do they need one out here? This is a fun time of the year, and I really like this point of the year because it's kind of like the NFL, you know, like the NFL week 15, week 16, week 17. You're trying to see the playoff scenarios and everything, and I know ours is not that intricate when it comes down to it because it's basically numbers-based and everything, but I really like this point of the time because you get a chance to see teams that are hungry just to try to get into the playoffs and try to get hot, and next thing you know, you see if they can carry it over to the playoffs, and that's going to be an amazing thing here. So the next couple of weeks should be fun.
Indeed they will. Lamar Gafford from SinlotPreps.com joining us to break down what's going on in the Alexandria area. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, my man. Have a good one.
And now we move on to Southwest Louisiana and the Lake Charles metro area. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us. And Chasten, the biggest game in the area this week is in Class 3A. Jennings taking on Notre Dame. 6-1 Jennings, Notre Dame at 4-3. And even though this is not a district matchup, this is a good playoff-type atmosphere, a playoff-type matchup for these two squads.
Yeah, look, I think you would probably know this as well. Look, when we've seen so many public schools try to play Notre Dame over the last, you know, 10 or so years, and every time they play them, you know, even if it's a really good Welsh team or, you know, really good Jennings team, they're never, I mean, Notre Dame just skull drags them. You know, I don't expect that this week. Jennings, I got to see them last week. We did them in South Beauregard in a game that, I mean, it was 35-0 at the end of the first quarter, which shocked the heck out of me. That one got over in quick, fast, and in a hurry. I think this Jennings team, we're going to find a lot out about this Jennings team. They're sitting in the top 10 of the power ratings right now. They've never beat Notre Dame as Notre Dame. They beat them when they were St. Michael's. They've never beat them as Notre Dame. I think this is the shot if you're Jennings. They're big. They're physical. And look, they can, they've got a two-headed monster. Chris Ned can run the football. He's got a lot of speed. They bring out the double option. And then Rijon Zeno. When you can hand the ball to Rijon Zeno, you're doing something right. This is an intriguing game for a lot of different reasons. Though it's not a district game, we're really going to find out a lot about the Jennings Bulldogs this week. And I tell you what, they're able to hang in with Notre Dame and or even potentially beat Notre Dame. Watch out for Jennings comes the playoff time.
Absolutely. The Bulldogs are always a team that's dangerous come the playoffs. A game that's intriguing this week, Eunice, Iowa. Eunice got their first win last week against LaGrange, a team that's been struggling all year long, eked out a four-point win, 24-20. Now they take on a 6-1 Iowa team in district. If there's any good news for the Bobcats, is that Iowa has to go to them.
Yeah, look, this is. I told you I thought this one was an intriguing matchup. Iowa-Eunice, you're going to Eunice. Iowa, they have been they've been perfect in Louisiana. They're a lone blemish coming at the hands of a Texas squad. You know, they're sitting high in the power ratings. You can't overlook a Eunice team because, look, you can't let that Eunice record, which is, I believe, 1-7 now, you can't let that record, 1-6, you can't let that record kind of deceive you. I mean, look, they just got a win over LaGrange. LaGrange was coming in 6-1, best start in a long time. They were coming in 6-1 last week. Eunice beats them at home in a game that they got out 21-0, if I'm not mistaken, or, you know, 20 some odd to 7. I'm not going to say it's a trap game for Iowa, but it's certainly going to be one that I'm going to keep my eye on. I do expect Iowa to win, but Eunice might make it a lot of fun. They've been playing good ball as of late.
In District 3-5A, Sam Houston this week gets New Iberia. Barb gets Lafayette. Sulphur gets Karen Crow. Do we expect any upsets in this particular district this week? By that I mean New Iberia pulling out a victory over Sam Houston, Lafayette beating Barb, or in the case of the Karen Crow game, Sulphur. Even though these teams are 3-4, I'm not exactly sure if Sulphur would be the team getting an upset or if Karen Crow would be pulling off the upset because, frankly, these are two teams that have underdelivered this year.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right there. Look, this is another big week for 3-5A, especially here in Southwest Louisiana, because, like, if you look at it, I told you all year that I think Sam Houston is the team for me that is just they're puzzling because offensively they've got one of the best offenses in the state. Defenses have been playing them really well. They've been averaging about 20 some odd points a game. Last week they lose at the hands of Karen Crow. You know, they've lost two in a row. This is a big week for Sam Houston. They've got to find a way to get right this week before, before next week when you've got Acadiana, you're on the road at Acadiana, and then week 10 versus Barb. You've got to find a way to get right this week, or it could be trouble in paradise over in Moss Bluff. In terms of Barb, I think they've got a favorable schedule the rest of the way. They got to win over to Iberia last week. They've got Lafayette this week. You've got Sulphur next week before your week 10 matchup with Sam Houston. They've got a couple of weeks to get right, and I think they're going to do just that. They're now back over 500. Sulphur, look, I think they played well last week against Southside. It was homecoming, so, you know, a lot of things come with homecoming. Southside's been playing really good football, and I think this could be an interesting matchup, Karen Crow and Sulphur.
Let's take a look at classes 1A and 2A. What are some of the bigger matchups that you see in those classifications?
Yeah, I really like Grand Lake Maryville. I've gotten a chance to watch Grand Lake Maryville. You know, Coach Mark Cootie does a great job over with the Panthers. That was a game that we looked at as doing as our game of the week. That one could be a ton of fun. Also, you know, I don't know how much fun this one's going to be for the Greyhounds. They're a little bit banged up. LCA, them and Lafayette Christian, they're going to Lafayette. I'll keep my eye on that one. I don't expect Welsh to get the win in that one, but it's one I'm going to certainly keep my eye on. Also, Lake Arthur hosting Lafayette Renaissance. That's another one I'm going to be curious to kind of watch out for. And then as you go up to, you know, the 3A level, LCCP Westlake, that was another game that I really liked, that I really wanted to do. LCCP, they're 2-5. But that's another team you can't let that record deceive you. They're a whole lot better than that record shows. I promise you that. They've played some tough teams. They played Barb right down to the wire. It's going to be a tough match for Coach John Richardson and the gang. I really like what Westlake has done. They've got a good young core. When you top that off with the senior leadership of, you know, Kevin Rito, they've got some offensive weapons. I think LCCP is going to have just a little bit too much on the offensive side of things, but that's a fun matchup as well.
Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us to give us the lay of the land of the Lake Charles area. Chasten, as always, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, brother.
And we'll pause for this break. We'll come back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview after this short break. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Before we go, two quick notes. First, our condolences go to the family of Coach Charles Baglio. The former head coach at Independence High School died in a car crash last weekend at the age of 81. Coach Bags led Independence to 9 district championships and 2 state championship game appearances. He later went on to serve as an assistant coach at LSU, where he served on Nick Saban's, Les Miles's, and Ed Orgeron's staffs, winning 3 national championships during his time in Baton Rouge. For those of you planning to travel to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl Prep Football Classic, here's a quick heads up. This year's schedule is different than usual. The Thursday and Friday sessions will feature 3 games, while the Saturday session will only feature 2 games. The Thursday slate includes the 2 Division IV championships and the D3 non-select title game. On Friday, the 2 Division II championship games and the Division III select championship will be contested. And on Saturday, only 2 games, the Division I state championships. Game times noon and 3:30 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The 7 o'clock game on Thursday and Friday. No 7 o'clock game on Saturday. That's because the Saints are at home the next day against Washington. That'll do it for this edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents. Lamar Gafford, Tim Fletcher, Gene Ponte, Chasten Tavares, Kevin Foote, Robin Fambro, Coach Lou Valden, and Troy LaBeouf. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you next week on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.